Welcome to the American Federation of Government Employees Inside Government Program, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. Now here's your host, Jason Fornicola.
This week we'll discuss AFGE's upcoming human rights training conference with Women's and Fair Practices National Vice President Augusta Thomas, Federal Aviation Authority furloughs with Local 200 President Bob Challender, planned rallies in support of federal workers with Political Action Committee Director Bob Nicholas, and the attack on federal employees with Local 1643 President James Glenn. We've been joined by Augusta Thomas, National Vice President for AFGE's Women's and Fair Practices Department. NVP Thomas, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
So AFGE will be holding its annual Human Rights Training Conference in Atlanta, August 8th through the 11th. Tell us about the conference.
Well, the conference this year will be proven to be the best yet that we've had. We have held these conferences for many years. Last year, we had 107 participants that registered for the conference. We will be holding the conference in beautiful downtown Atlanta, Georgia. The theme of this year's conference shall resonate with all government employees. AFGE under attack. Our Social Security is being attacked. Our workers' rights are being attacked. Our retirement benefits are being attacked. We cannot stay quiet while our livelihoods are being beaten down.
Why is it important for AFGE members and leaders to stand up and fight back against these attacks against union workers?
AFGE is not going to just let it die. We're going to fight back, and we're not going to be quiet. But we need fair pay. We don't need them to keep messing with our Social Security. Now, I know we pay Social Security, and I know they took our Social Security money and they did some other things with it. So if they left our Social Security money alone, we wouldn't be in this shape that we in. They're talking about cutting us and raising our age. That's not fair to the working people.
As you look back on your career, what moment that resonates with you?
Well, it looked like to me we're going back to where we started. You know, back in my day, the old folks didn't have any Social Security. They had to depend on their sisters and brothers or mothers and fathers. They didn't have any money. They might have gotten maybe $10 from this daughter or maybe $30 from the brother or the son. But now, since we were able to pay Social Security and they dogging us like this, I think it's horrible. In my day, I got a little Social Security. Ain't much, but I got a little bit.
Explain how important it is for these social services like Social Security, like Medicare, like Medicaid, how important that is to have that safety net for people to rely on as they grow older.
As we grow older, we took Social Security to be our lifeline when we retire. When we started paying Social Security, it wasn't because we were in a federal job. Because federal jobs wasn't paying Social Security. So you managed to get a little Social Security to save for retirement. How did you know you would ever get a government job that you would get a pension from? But if you kept working at the service station or the grocery store. So when we saved for our benefits, we should get them and then we entitled to them and they should never cut them or touch them.
What goes through your mind when you hear legislators who want to attack a federal employee, cut the employee's benefits, cut the employee's pay, eliminate jobs?
I think it's terrible. And if I ever find out that my representative, House of Representatives, is doing that, he will no longer be there. But I do have some on the other side, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. I don't think they know what it is because they've been rich all their lives. They need to think about what we're asking them to do. They've already asked us to do, and we've done our part. You can't keep getting money out of the well, and the well is the employees. You can't keep doing it. But they could, if they pooled their money, they could really cut this deficit. But they're going to keep theirs and try to dig into what little bit we have. And I just don't think it's right.
Do you think, based on that this is a significant moment in the history of the labor movement to stand together during this time?
If we ever, ever need to stand together, it's now.
And do you think that's a reflection on workers and their rights to collectively bargain rights?
Every employee needs collective bargaining to make sure that their rights are kept and not union-busting techniques.
Going back to the Human Rights Training Conference coming up, what can attendees expect in the way of classes that will be available to them and learning experiences?
This year, we will be offering 10 of our most popular classes with two brand new ones for the seasoned actives. The classes being offered are designated to help new and veteran actors be successful in fighting what we have before us. Our returning feature training classes will include all levels of EEO training, including the D.C. government, collective bargaining training, coordinators training, new leaders training, work-life training, including workplace bullying, diversity training, and conflict resolution. The new classes that we will feature this year is EEO pretrial skills for the federal sector EEOC administration process and advanced coordinators training. All of these training classes that we are having is to help the locals and the local coordinators and the district coordinators to be able to represent their members. And I encourage all locals and all councils and all MVPs to come to the training.
And if people want to register, where can they get some more information?
They can go to the AFGE Women's website and get the information. Now, registration is still going on. We do not have a closed date. But if you plan to register after July the 29th, you bring it with you to Atlanta, and we'll register you in Atlanta. So bring it with you when you come.
Now, you have had a remarkable path. And since becoming AFGE's National Vice President for Women's and Fair Practices in 2009, what are your top priorities?
My top priorities are to represent members that are being discriminated against. And you'd be surprised at the members that are being discriminated according to the cases, EEO cases that are coming here to this department for our attorneys to do. And I also want to encourage young union members and non-members to join us at the Young Summit at the convention next year. September the 29th through October the 3rd, there's going to be a youth summit in Minneapolis, Minnesota that we're going to be involved in. But when you get to AFGE's convention, bring the young people with you. We're going to teach them how to be union activists. And we're working on the AFL-CIO protection, voter protection for the elections coming up in the 2012 elections. I know there's a lot of laws in the different states where they say you got to have a picture ID or you got to bring your gas and electric light bill or something with you. Some of these old crazy laws that they are doing is outrageous. So we need to get with the voter protection and make sure everybody understands what they can do.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're speaking with AFGE National Vice President for Women's and Fair Practices, Augusta Thomas. MVP Thomas, is it important to recruit young new members to the Federation?
Young new members to the Federation is so important. Now, I ain't going to mention my age, but I'm trying to teach young folks how to do things because I'm not going to be here that long. And young folks need to step up and be able to do what needs to be done to protect themselves and to help others.
And speaking of protection, you mentioned voter protection. That's always a key issue around election time, obviously. But voter protection really is a 365-day-a-year job, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. 365 days a year.
How do you go about protecting the rights of voters year-round?
Well, for one thing, you get involved with the community actors that's out there doing things. For one is the A. Philip Randolph Institute in your area, the Coalition of Black Trade Unions in your area, the Coalition of Labor Union Women, the Worker America group that goes around and got the addresses and names of the non-union members. We all get together, and we have forms. We do voter registration. We teach the felonies that are out of prison, has served their time, to get them situated with their state so they can be citizens again in order to vote. Things like that.
We mentioned earlier that you have a long history with the labor movement and the civil rights movement. What brought you to those callings?
I just don't know. I know back in the early 30s, 40s, I went to Atlanta and met with, I'll tell you what happened. Dr. Martin Luther King's daddy was a minister, and I lived with my uncle that was a minister, and they would have a lot of meetings at Martin Luther King's house. I called him Little Martin. And we would be over there playing. And one particular time we went to the meeting, we had his sister Christina and my sister Virginia and I, and we needed four people to play. And he wouldn't play with us to make the fourth person. So he went to the furnace. It was his time to put the coal in the furnace. And I locked him in the furnace room. And guess what? Do you think he played when he came out? Yes. But who would have thought back then that he would be the person that he was, the nonviolent person, the I have a dream person? Who would have thought? But the other thing, too, was I was talking to some folks, and we had planned to go to Nashville, Tennessee, to do a sit-in at a lunch counter. This was back in the 60s. And I happened to be watching TV, and I saw where four young men down in Greensboro, North Carolina, was sitting on the counter wanting something to drink, and they refused to serve them. So I went to my husband, and I said, I need to go. He said, go where? I said, I got to go to North Carolina. He said, I need to talk to your daddy. So he talked to my daddy, and I talked to daddy, and they decided, okay, you know, you could be killed. You could be hurt. Said, now, don't forget you got six children. I said, but I have to go. Something in my heart tells me I've got to go. So I went. My sister and I, we drove down there, and we sat on the counter, and we got spit on. We got hit with sticks. It wasn't no clubs. It was sticks. They would kick us once they knocked us off the stool, but we would get right back up and get back up on the stool. I went to jail twice, but that was all right, too. I mean, I got to see what was behind the bars. I don't like it, but if I had to do it again, I would do it. But I felt that I had to go to help folks realize that we are being treated differently, and we are no different than anybody else. Now, let me explain something to you. I didn't get kicked and spit and hit with a stick because I was black. The white men that was doing it thought I was white helping the black young men. So, you know, that was two ways of discriminating. You discriminate with me because I was doing something, and after all, I am black, you know. But it was just something that I had to do.
What are you most proud of?
Oh, I'm proud of that I got 9 children, and 8 of them went to college, and got 24 grandchildren, and 11 grandchildren, 24 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grands. So I'm proud of them, and I'm proud that I am making a difference. Now, being up here with AFGE, I'm hoping that the folks that's calling in and we are assisting, that we're making a difference in the world. And I want AFGE to continue to do the things that they're doing, and also winning the TSA campaign. Now, I'm really proud of that. I mean, I've never been in so many airports, but I am really proud of that.
AFGE Women's and Fair Practices National Vice President Augusta Thomas, as always, thank you for your time. You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll hear from AFGE Local 200 President Bob Challender about furloughs at the Federal Aviation Administration.
Look Looking for a hassle-free way to buy a new computer, electronics, or home appliances? Purchasing Power allows you to buy items such as Dell laptops, HP desktops, and Kenmore appliances through easy payroll deduction. There's no upfront cash required, no credit checks, and AFGE members get a 6% discount with promo code AFGEMember. That's all one word. Get started today. Log on to shoppurchasingpower.com. That's shoppurchasingpower.com.
Did you know MetLife Auto and Home has valuable deals on insurance for AFGE members that could save them hundreds every year? Benefits include special discounts just for being an AFGE member, and in most states, a deductible credit for claim-free driving up to $250. Call the AFGE Benefits line at 1-888-844-2343 today to see how much you could save. That's 1-888-844-2343. Underwritten by Metropolitan Group Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Warwick, Rhode Island.
Attention AFGE members. AFGE has formed you and your family members a special discounted tuition rate. With Grantham University's 100% online degree programs, it's even easier to earn a college degree while working full-time and meeting the needs of your family. Military and government training may be eligible for transfer credit. Find out more at grantham.edu/AFGE. That's grantham.edu/AFGE.
Welcome back to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. We've been joined by Bob Challender, president of AFGE Local 200 out of the Federal Aviation Administration in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
Bob, we have a situation going there at the FAA with employees currently under furlough status. What's happening with that?
Since last Monday, 4,000 FAA federal employees have been furloughed. To my knowledge, there are at least thousands of direct contractor employees for the FAA furloughed as well. From all reports I've read, there are as many as 70,000 construction workers around the country in every one of the 50 states who are out of work because of stop work orders on airport.
Now, Bob, how many of these workers are AFGE members?
Well, here at our location in Atlantic City, New Jersey, we have 360 employees in our local. We have 14 people who have been furloughed and 5 who are working under constrained working conditions. The majority of our union here in Atlantic City is funded under operations funding, so we have not been hit quite as hard.
This is just in your area, correct? There are many more nationwide under this regulation as well.
That's correct. From an AFGE standpoint, I know of an affected local in Oklahoma City at the Mike Monroney Aeronautical Center. To my knowledge, of their 160 or so people, over 30 are furloughed as well. And I do want to make mention that even though our 360 people are not as directly impacted, in my small work group alone, AFGE employees have husbands, wives, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers who are furloughed here in Atlantic City.
Bob, what's the cause of this?
Well, the FAA is an accepted agency, meaning that we operate quite differently under federal employee labor law. Therefore, the FAA has a authorization to operate that has to be passed by Congress every 5 years. The last authorization expired in 2007, and since then we have been operating on 20 temporary extensions, which have avoided this type of action.
Who's behind this, Bob?
Well, in the 21st effort to temporarily extend our operating authority, the House of Representatives included contentious language in their version of that temporary authorization legislation. I can point directly to the chairperson of the House Transportation Committee. That would be Congressman Mica from Florida, who, in one account that I read, referred to the contentious language as a tool in speaking to aviation associates. To my knowledge, what he meant by that is he tried to insert this as a bargaining chip to get larger contentious language into the larger FAA reauthorization bill.
This sounds very similar to a lot of the other attacks against federal employees around the country. Would you agree?
Well, it's sort of an end run. The contentious language in the extension passed by the House is specific to what's called essential air services, which is rural airports around the country that are subsidized. Quite a few of these airports are in Democratic senators' states, and therefore it was pretty much known that that language would not pass the Senate. But when I mention an end run regarding other language, there's contention between the House and the Senate on language that would force union elections to count those who do not vote as no votes. Now, this rule was established by a national mediation panel, and the Republic is pretty much bent on overturning the rule with legislation.
Bob, what can you tell us about the five workers you mentioned earlier who are operating under an exception to the furlough?
Yes. Well, before I give a little detail on that, I do want to say that our work with the FAA as an agency, the administrator, the Secretary of Transportation, is absolutely collaborative. We are all in this together. We are all trying to minimize the impact to our employers, our employees, our customers. But in the case of these five employees, the agency determined that they were necessary for to continue safe operations. So they were accepted from, they received an exception from the furlough. However, their funding is not approved by Congress. Right now, as of today, it's not sure whether they will be paid for the time that they are actually working on time. The government has acknowledged its obligation to pay them eventually, but now that the furlough may be into September, they may be asked to work without pay for some time. In addition, they are not allowed to take annual leave or sick leave. To do so, they would have to go into a furlough status and then return to work when they are well or on vacation.
Bob, despite the language in the House of Representatives bill, there are some in the House who are fighting for these federal employees, particularly some legislators from New Jersey. Isn't that right?
Well, I will say this. The legislation to temporarily extend us in the House was, I believe this is the first time that there was a vote that was not bipartisan. Virtually all Democrats voted against the legislation. Six Republicans from around the country voted against the legislation. I can say that all Democrats in New Jersey voted against the legislation. But the key member that we focus on here at the Tech Center is Congressman Lo Biondo. He had voted for the legislation, but has since appeared to urge the Senate and the House to basically bring this furlough to an end.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're speaking with AFGE FAA Local 200 President Bob Challender. Bob, You mentioned that AFGE Local 200 is working in collaboration with the agency and management to get this situation resolved. How much progress have you made on that front?
Well, our progress is largely blocked by the fact that any real change to this to the status of the FAA right now must include legislation. You know, we are all working to make this less painful, but right now the Secretary of Transportation, Administrator Babbitt, management, unions, businesses, aviation associations can only urge Congress to act. We are all doing that in the strongest means possible, but as of this evening or this morning, it became clear that the House of Representatives recessed until at least September 7th, so we don't see any change to the status for at least the next 5 or 6 weeks.
What's the impact to the traveling public? Is this a safety concern people should...
And when Secretary LaHood and Administrator Babbitt, number one, have made that a very public part of their presentation, they have made it, they have reiterated to us, the FAA employees who are not furloughed, that that is priority number one. And to my knowledge, there is no safety impact at all.
But there's a possibility here that this could impact services to the public, correct? I mean, if they're laying off thousands of workers, that would somehow ripple down into the public, wouldn't it?
Well, there's actually, if I may make reference to an Atlantic City Press news article of last Thursday, the writer Jennifer Bogdan made a very great point of starting out with the impact to small businesses here in the Atlantic City area. She had, through her story, the impact to FAA employees as well, and then followed up with impact to large businesses and local airports where construction has come to a stop. So this is an across-the-board impact. It's business revenues, it's employees going out and on unemployment. So it is affecting everybody.
And no doubt taking its toll on the local economy in Atlantic City as well. I imagine if people are being laid off and furloughed, that there's less money being pumped into the economy at a time when it certainly needs it.
Yeah, and it's not only about the purchase of things. It's just about surviving at this point. I've talked to some of our employees who are wondering whether they will be able to uphold their mortgages. They have family members at home that they are the caretakers of, and the care of their family members can be expensive. This is just a an across-the-board hit to people here at the tech center who are laid off. And you know, again, the FAA has identified approximately 640 federal employees. The number of contractors here at the tech center is not quite known, but it's expected to be in the hundreds.
When most people hear of the FAA, they largely think of air traffic controllers. But what are some of these job functions that are being performed where the employees have been furloughed?
So the largest contingent of employees here at the William J. Hughes Technical Center who are furloughed are people who are employed in enhancing and improving our nation's air traffic control systems. The most prevalent system that is being impacted is referred to as NextGen. That's the FAA's Next Generation Air Traffic Control System. This particular system involves every large business, every small business, employees, unions, stakeholders that do business with the FAA. And this NextGen program is on a very, very aggressive schedule, and it has basically come to a standstill.
So, Bob, what are the next steps for you as president of AFGE Local 200?
Well, reaching out to our employees and really getting more understanding of the personal impacts to them. We have a on our website at AFGELocal200.org a furlough information page where we are updating any new information that we have come across. Just this morning, we had one of our employees tell us they became knowledgeable of a NASA Federal Credit Union furlough relief program for their members. There are options to get people through this. We have this morning approached the Jersey Shore Federal Credit Union, which is right here in our facility, to see if they can do such a program. So we're doing everything that we can to ease the pain of our employees and their families and our coworkers here at the tech center.
Bob, what's the web address of your website if employees want to learn more about what's happening?
Certainly. The web address is AFGELocal200.org. And on the main page, you'll see a quick link to a furlough information page.
Bob Challender, president of AFGE FAA Local 200. Bob, thank you very much for your time today.
Jason, it was a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll learn about a series of AFGE rallies in support of federal workers with Political Action Committee Director Bob Nicholas.
Attention AFGE members. AFGE has formed an exclusive partnership with Grantham University to offer you and your family members a special discounted tuition rate. With Grantham University's 100% online degree programs, it's even easier to earn a college degree while working full-time and meeting the needs of your family. Military and government training may be eligible for transfer credit. Find out more at grantham.edu/AFGE. That's grantham.edu/AFGE.
Planning a family vacation? Did you know through your AFGE membership you are eligible for discounts for you and your family when you travel to Busch Gardens, Adventure Island, Knott's Berry Farm, and SeaWorld? And if you want to capture those family moments on film, your union membership will help you get a discount on a camcorder or digital camera. Those are just some of the benefits offered by the American Federation of Government Employees, the nation's largest federal workers union, representing some 600,000 workers nationwide. If you are a member, simply go to the AFGE website and click on the Member Benefits tab or call 888-844-2343. That's 888-844-2343. Not a member? Become one. Log on to AFGE.org and click the Join AFGE button on the homepage. AFGE, proud to make America work.
Back to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. We've been joined by Bob Nicholas, AFGE's Political Action Director. Bob, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be on. Thanks for having me, Jason.
Bob, AFGE is planning more than 20 rallies across the U.S. this month in support of federal employees and the work that they do. Tell us about the rallies.
I'd be glad to. To put it in context, since the beginning of the year, the services that Americans rely on, from food inspection, meat inspection, to border protection, to protecting our infrastructure, to supplying our troops, providing health care to America's veterans, a whole wide array of services have been under attack by particularly the House of Representatives. There's been attempts to drastically cut funding for those services to the bone. And as part of that effort, clearly federal employees who deliver the services have also experienced attacks to their pay, their pension, and other benefits. So what we're seeing, particularly again in the House of Representatives, is really a straight-on attack or the programs that Americans rely on, and then an attack on the men and women that provide those services. The rallies that are being put together in conjunction with the AFL-CIO and a variety of coalition partners across the country, including Move On, are designed to focus public attention on the impacts of those attacks, particularly on the services that are being cut, on the lawmakers that are proposing the worst of the worst proposals, and to encourage a public debate about is this the type of government, is this the type really of America we want, with the priorities that help improve the quality of life being cut to the bone, the House of Representatives, again in particular, is taking a wrecking ball to the services that keep our communities healthy and protected.
Who's participating in these rallies across the country, and where specifically will some of them be held?
It's a coalition effort, as I mentioned, with the AFL-CIO, beginning earlier this year in response initially to the attacks on working people in Wisconsin that then basically spread across the country. The AFL started a mobilization effort that they're calling We the Communities, including union members, non-union members, the people that are affected by service cuts. We're going to act together to fight back against these attacks, both on our rights at work and our rights as citizens to get services to protect our communities. So We Are One is the general banner. AFG has been part of that since the very beginning. And our mobilization has been in support of the state efforts as well as the various attacks on services and federal employees. So it's a banner coalition effort. A lot of these activities are focused on some of the members of Congress who have proposed what we think are the most egregious. So, for example, we've already done a number of these. In July, we actually had a demonstration out in front of Jason Chaffetz's office. Jason Chaffetz is a Republican member of Congress of the House from Utah, and he has proposed cutting the federal workforce by 10%. And it's not just a cut in employees. If you cut the employees that deliver the services, you're cutting services across the board. And then we also had a rally out in front of Eric Cantor's office, the majority leader in the House, outside of his Richmond office, general in response, walking out on the debt ceiling talks. And we also had a rally out in front of Representative Tim Scott's office in Charleston, South Carolina. Again, the same thing. Rep. Scott has proposed legislation along with Senator DeMint to disallow dues deduction for federal employees, which we take grave exception to. Every citizen has a right to join a union and to choose to have dues taken out of their check. He's taking away that right. So similar rallies are being planned throughout July. In fact, we've actually held four of them just in the last week. We had targeted certain members of Congress for August, but there's intransigence in the debt ceiling talks. We actually held rallies out in front of four members of Congress's offices last week, including in Oklahoma, a Representative Lankford, who is one of the people behind the debacle that's going on right now that's shutting down the FAA and putting 4,000 Americans out of work. In the future, we'll be holding rallies, for example, in Indiana. Representative Rokita, who has been a supporter of most of the most egregious pieces of legislation that has gone through the House, will be focused on representatives in Colorado, in, again, Oklahoma, in Michigan. There's a Representative Aiken, whose district is right outside St. Louis, Missouri. He, again, has been one of the backers of a lot of the most egregious cuts and attacks on federal employees. So it's geographically very dispersed, and what's been interesting to me is, of the things we've done this year, this has probably captured the imagination and the energy of federal employees as much as anything we've done. I think a lot of federal employees and a lot of the people that get the services that we provide are just fed up with what's going on. The turning out a crowd has not been a problem, and the media has been incredibly interested in this. Just kind of, what's our opinion? Why are we out there?
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're speaking with AFGE Political Action Director Bob Nicholas. Bob, this sounds like a very well-organized campaign. In fact, with all of these rallies that you've already staged and many more to come, as you mentioned, it sounds like you're getting a lot of support not only from AFGE membership, but federal employees around the country.
Well, the goal going into this was, so to speak, to make August a long, hot summer for a lot of members of Congress who just don't seem to care about being, the services that Americans count on. So going into this, we thought it would capture the imagination of people, and it has. All told, there's over now, I think, 400 or 500 events being planned for the month of August when you consider what AFG is doing, what the AFL-CIO is doing, and what some of our coalition partners are doing. So it's going to be interesting. I think we've billed this as August Accountability Month, and this really is the time for everybody, whether you're an AFG member or not. This is the time to hold lawmakers accountable for what they voted on so far this year. The August recess basically officially began yesterday, and it's running through Labor Day, so we've got plenty of time to call, meet with, hold actions outside of lawmakers' offices, and let them have a piece of our mind.
Bob, at the top of the interview, you hit on a number of key services that federal employees provide: food inspection, meat inspection, border protection, clean air, clean water, troop support, securing our prisons. Talk about the impact that cuts would have to these very real services that people rely on.
Well, just to give you a couple of examples, I think the number of meat inspectors, just to take one very important job that federal employees provide, there are probably going to be somewhere between 600 and 1,300 meat inspectors laid off, just given what's happened so far. Once we go into the deficit reduction plan and the cuts in funding that are associated with that, those types of cuts are going to be even more severe. We're talking about the laying off of hundreds of workers that work for the Environmental Protection Agency. That means the next time you pick up a glass of water, the next time you breathe your air, there are far fewer people working to make sure that that air and water is safe to either drink or breathe. Supplying our troops, as everybody knows, we're engaged in conflicts all across the globe. It's DOD civilian employees that supply those troops. There are efforts underway to cut the civilian defense workforce by over 10%. Given the demand we're under right now, that's going to have a severe impact on our ability to supply our troops. Border protection, the budget for border protection has been cut. That means fewer Border Patrol agents. The budget that was passed actually out of the House Committee for Federal Corrections would cut time when the federal prison population has mushroomed. And in terms of keeping our communities safe, cutting those corrections officers is just bad policy. It defies common sense. And across the board, I mean, we're seeing cuts in medical research at the Center for Disease Control. We're seeing cuts in the amount of money that can go into water treatment systems. And anybody, whether you live in the metropolitan Washington area or in other communities, we all know that the infrastructure in this country is falling apart. And one of the most critical pieces of infrastructure just on day-to-day safety of our families is water treatment. Millions of dollars are being cut from water treatment budgets. This all defies common sense. It's just, it really is an attack on the very purpose of government and the well-being of our communities. And again, it feeds back into why we're doing these August actions. Lawmakers have got to be held accountable for what they're doing here in Washington.
Bob, back to the rallies. If people want to get involved, how can they do so?
I think the quickest way to find out if there's an event being held near you is to go on to the AFL-CIO website, www.aflcio.org. And literally, I can visualize the website. On the right-hand side of the website, you'll see a button that says, "We Are One," big red letters. Click on that button. It'll take you to an interactive map. You enter your zip code, and you can find out what kind of events being held near you.
Bob Nicholas, AFGE Political Action Director. Bob, thank you for your time.
It was great to be with you again, Jason.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll talk more about the attack on federal workers with AFGE Local 1643 President James Glenn.
Attention AFGE members. Did you know about AFGE's new service to assist you with legal rights issues? It's called the AFGE Legal Rights Attorney Program, which offers free attorney representation in cases brought by AFGE councils and locals on behalf of AFGE members. The program, administered by AFGE's General Counsel's Office, has handled more than 150 cases since 2005 and has won millions of dollars in back pay for our members. The Legal Rights Attorney Program is designed to take cases that will be brought to arbitration, the Merit System Protection Board, or other review boards where both back pay and attorney's fees are available. These cases include removal, suspension, reduction in pay, reduction in grade, and furlough. For information about the program, please email legalrights@afge.org. Not a member? Become one and take advantage of this incredible resource today.
Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. We've been joined by James Glenn, president of AFGE Local 1643, with the Surface Deployment and Disprobe. Welcome to the program.
I'm glad to be here.
Now, you're calling into us today from a special location, and that's Iraq, the first guest on Inside Government to do so. Tell us about what you're doing over there.
Well, I'm actually working at a travel office here. I arrange travel and also have to drive in the red zone to pick up VIPs or whatever from different airports and, arrange lodging for them and just move them around as necessary.
How are the working conditions there?
Well, life in Iraq for civilians, it's a little different. Like me personally, I live in what they call a CHU, and it's just a small trailer with a bathroom in the middle, and you got two people on each end. All the food, laundry, and the cleaners are free. And also, DOD civilians have access to the PX and medical facilities. The condition here is also that it's very hot. I mean, the temperature usually ranges from right now from 118 to 121.
My goodness, how do you stay cool in that heat, James?
Well, try to stay out of as much as you can, and also you have to drink a lot of fluid.
James, what are the living conditions like in Iraq for people outside of your immediate area?
Well, the last thing that I read in the Stars and Stripes yesterday that stated that the conditions here were, I mean, it's worse than it was since 2008 as far as, fatalities. I think June was the highest number of fatalities since 2008.
And what sort of impact does that have on people in the area?
Well, it just, everybody's different. And, some people freak out. And then it's others, that's prior military. They don't seem to take it as bad. But, the thought is always in your head, especially every time you go out in the red zone, that, something could happen.
James, let's move on to some of your work as an AFGE local president. What are some of the biggest issues that you're facing and fighting for these days?
Well, I guess the biggest concern that we have as federal employees is that we seem to be the whipping boys for everybody. All of a sudden, federal employees are being scrutinized and penalized for the state of the economy. They put caps on our hiring. Well, they froze hiring. They put caps on salaries, incentive awards. And not only that, they're thinking of making proposals. They've already made proposals to change the retirement plan, you know, from the high three to the high five, and also to increase the retirement contributions of employees.
And when you hear about budget cuts and pay freezes and service reductions, as a federal employee stationed in Iraq, how does that make you feel? How does that make your fellow workers feel, knowing that people are trying to cut your pay, cut your benefits, reduce services?
It makes us feel like we're scapegoats for a problem that's really not our fault. I mean, you got a lot of people over here that, like, I'm on what they call the civilian expeditionary workforce. I volunteered to come here, and all of the DOD civilians have volunteered to come here. And, you know, when you see things like that, it just make you wonder, you know, what are these people thinking? Well, it just make you wonder whether they're thinking at all, actually.
Do you feel that yourself and along with your fellow workers maybe have a different or unique perspective on this issue, given that you're working in such a dangerous place right now?
Well, absolutely, because yeah, I can't say it so much, but three of the guys that I've worked with since I've been here are no longer here. I'll just put it that way. And when you hear stuff like, you know, that they're reducing, you know, caps on us, and just doesn't pass the smell test to me.
James, let's talk for a minute about the retirement piece of this. You know, there's been a lot of talk about shifting the retirement plan from a high three to a high five. Talk for a minute about how that man maybe changes their expectations of what that retirement looks like.
Well, actually, what it does, I mean, if you look at it and think about it, it's actually it's almost like a tax increase. That's the way I look at it, because now you're required to pay more in to the system and get less out of it.
James, on the notion of budget cuts, have you seen any significant changes to your agency in the Surface Deployment and Distribution Command due to budget cuts?
Yes, they've well, there's a hiring freeze now, and not only that, they're thinking of replacing some civilians now.
James Glenn, president of AFGE Local 1643. James, thank you very much for your time, and stay safe.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
Thank you to our guest this week, AFGE Women's and Fair Practices National Vice President Augusta Thomas, Local 200 President Bob Challender, Political Action Director Bob Nicholas, and Local 1643 President James Glenn. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and that's The View from Inside Government.
Thank you for listening to Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy ball, basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics.
CNN Radio, I'm Paul Chambers. The monthly U.S. jobs report came in better than expected, with 117,000 jobs.